You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
All right, friends. As promised, it's now time for a chat with Napa Mayor Scott Sedgley, who is joining Taylor and I now here on, he's on the phone. We're in the studio. He's on the phone. It's all safe. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Barry. Good morning, Taylor. Good morning, Napa.
There you go. I like it.
I like it, too.
So what's your primary focus this week? What have you been working on? What are you zoomed in on this particular moment in time?
Oh, well, yesterday was about 3 hours on a Zoom call with a committee with the Association of Bay Area Governments, determining our regional housing numbers. It's referred to as RENA, Regional Housing Needs Assessment, and the methodology of how those numbers are determined. And so with the somewhat rural counties like Napa, Sonoma, and even Solano, you know, kind of always, you know, battle with the more, you know, San Mateo, San Francisco, and Contra Costa. So there's not consensus yet on the methodology and how to reach those final numbers, because it's very important when those numbers are established. You think they stick with you for a 7-year cycle, and there's an expectation that your county, including your cities, will provide those housing numbers. So it's an important piece of local legislator stuff that goes through, and that's what I was working on yesterday. Of course, vaccines is the big thing now that, you know, we're moving kind of past the testing push for COVID. You know, the vaccines are here. We're rolling out. I think yesterday I read that we did about 1,000. Yesterday we have about 17,000 on the online. I know that you've been sharing the county's online number to get on and register. That's about 17,000 already that have gone on, and the county's requesting for next week about a little over 7,000 new vaccines to distribute next week. So that's the big push, is get those vaccines out.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, as I mentioned to you off the air before we got started, just a few days ago, we kicked off a new group on Facebook that's called KVON Community Forum. And the idea behind this was just to give another way for folks to participate in what we do, and then have a chance, in this example, to talk to you via that Facebook page. So we've got a few questions that our listeners have logged, and we're going to lead off with Taylor's got one of those questions that's on the Facebook group.
Well, one isn't necessarily a question. It's more of a statement, a begging and pleading statement. Mm-hmm. Can somebody please sync the lights on Jefferson Street downtown? I'm begging you, Scott. Clay, first, second, and third.
To synchronize the lights?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'll definitely, you know, ask the Public Works Streets Division on how that works. I mean, it's a science, and we have traffic engineers that know how to, you know, do those things, just like the roundabout. Everybody was scared to death of a new roundabout in California, right? That
right.
People will be, you know, will lose lives daily there. But the engineers were pretty smart, and that works well. And I know the syncing of lights, Trancas was a big thing that on Trancas Street, how to sync those. I don't know that it's just a simple matter of, okay, they're going to all stay green for so long. Cross traffic considerations, but you know, driving First Street between Jefferson and Sosco, they're talking about
Jefferson Street from Clay to second,
to kind of,
yeah, Clay to third, that little stretch in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just those three ones in there. Yeah, you know, that's an awfully short little three blocks. I mean,
Dan Monez weighed in on it.
Yeah, but my advice is slow down, be patient. You know, we can get across Napa pretty easy, but syncing lights is always a good question. But for somebody to hit all three and go zooming through at 50 miles an hour, we don't necessarily want that either. So
yeah,
but it's a science, and those engineers they understand it and how it all works. So
Well,
speaking
of zooming cars, we have another comment. So this is kind of a bit of a sad one. A dog was struck and killed by a car as the owner watched outside of Shirtlift Park last week. Despite the addition of a gate to the off-leash park, there is a bridge that dogs have found access to the street by running under. Several people have contacted the city for months, but no repair has been made. Obviously, it's not a large concern to most, but it would mean a lot to the woman who lost her dog, Georgie. I assume that's the dog, not the woman?
I think it's a dog.
Yeah. So I think that is probably a comment on who to reach out to. Would that be the Parks Department who should...
It could be Parks or Public Works. I didn't quite understand the dilemma. There's a way for the animals to get under a bridge and onto the street.
That's what it sounds like. And they've asked for a repair to that. So
yeah, that's a tough one because you can't if we have a high flow and that I'm sure it's a seasonal creek probably, and you can't like build a big obstruction of wire to stop it. But, I'm kind of a practical guy there. And if you're out with your dogs, they should be on leashes. But
in the off leash area. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah.
But you make a good point. Yeah. If there is a creek there, you can't really obstruct it. So,
Difficult one. I'm a pet lover. It's always tragic to see the loss of pets out that way, but definitely, something that parks should look at if for an off leash area, the dogs are still supposed to be under command when you're an off leash. You're supposed to have an animal that behaves.
That's why I don't go anywhere near an off leash. My dog does not listen to me at all. Yeah. I know better.
Well, yeah. Dogs will be dogs, but when they get excited, but that's, I'll mention this to parks and see if we have an issue there on an off leash area that could be a hazard. Cause we want to keep, everybody, children most of all, but pets too, that safe in those areas.
Mm-hmm. So we have a different topic here. Someone would like to know your perspective of recreational cannabis access in our town.
I'm a product of the 60s and, I grew up, with being exposed and, as an entry level, narcotic, I never believed that was the case. I mean, it's just like alcohol. Adults, responsible adults, can use and not drive and be responsible. That's the whole key. Some people don't, and they abuse it. But the big thing for me was Proposition 64, when California voters approved in Napa County, a strong showing of approval of adult recreational use. And as an elected, I'm supposed to represent, my constituents in the community. And I feel that it probably is time. More and more states are making it legal. Cities throughout the state of California have, allowed the retail stores of adult use. I've been in Oregon. I've been in Washington. That they have in their, business areas, dispensaries that work perfectly safe and sane. There's no issues. I don't see the huge issue we have allowed for. I think Napa now has 5 medicinal, where you still need the card to get your cannabis. We haven't had calls for service for law enforcement. They haven't been an attraction for crime. They all seem to be working as hoped. So I think probably Napa's adult recreational sales will happen. It's just kind of that transition where Yountville, their council said, well, let's put it to a vote. Let's let the voters decide if we want to have one adult use spot. But then it became political and it didn't happen where the council could have approved an ordinance and moved forward. But they made the, let the voters decide, and the Yountville voters said, we don't want it.
So. Yeah, Yountville's got all the sales tax they need right now, so not yeah, so much an issue.
We all do.
You know, the whole the whole medical card thing is really ridiculous. It literally takes about 3 minutes now
to get a
medical card. I am not exaggerating. I'm not kidding. It happens while you're standing there. You just pay a certain amount and you have a medical card. It's ridiculous. Why, you know, just go ahead to the recreational.
And then they will often credit your purchase for what you just paid for your card.
Right.
And that's partly the failure of 215. When California voters passed Proposition 215 20 years ago, the state never figured out how to make it work. And it just became a mockery. You had, you know, online, hello MD, you know, you could go online and, you know, get your card. It just became ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, I understand caution and taking it slow, but yeah, I think, you know, you're right. The time has come. It's grow up about the whole thing as a community. So let's talk about something else. This came from Amy on the Facebook group that we started, asking about, to make the question short, independent redistricting body of some kind. As everybody knows, Napa City had district elections for the first time. Mm-hmm. The maps were drawn pretty quickly with the idea that you then refine those maps after the census and so forth. What are your thoughts on an independent body, a blue ribbon panel or whatever you want to call it, to engage in that redistricting or in the drawing those district map updates rather than it being done by the elected members of the council?
Right. We just went through this, you know, recently. It's brand new. It's fresh, right? We were challenged legally that we were non-compliant. And so, you know, we hired consultants that do this redistricting all around the state. Paul Mitchell came in a really rushed manner, did what I felt a really good job for the end time of the 2020 elections for the districts, as you mentioned. So that process is all fresh. And because it's so new, and our census numbers, we haven't seen them exactly yet where the changes have occurred. But I don't think there will be a big movement of the districts based on the 2020 census. There'll be little push here, there, a little fudging. If some of these islands are annexed, that could change the numbers a little bit, but I don't see a big change. And so I think the effort, in fact, we have it on the agenda for the first meeting, I think, in February to start the process. We have retained the services of our demographer that we used last time. We were real happy with that result. So I think we can move through it a lot easier. It won't be during an election year, so it won't become a campaign issue. So I think with our demographer and what we have in place, that's less than 2 years old, I don't know that we need a big you know, independent panel to try to determine these districts, because doing that will become political also. You know, you'll have people that, you know, are on that committee for a specific neighborhood or a specific reason. So unless, you know, I'm seeing data that, you know, we really need to establish a, you know, an independent body to determine the districts, I still feel it's representative government. We are elected there, seated there to do that work, and I'm willing to take that work on.
Mm-hmm. I think the follow-up to that, you made a reference to another question. This is from David Campbell, who, of course, ran for council and focused a lot on the county islands issue. And he is asking, to sum it up, what your approach will be to those county islands. Do you intend to initiate a process with the council to annex those islands into the city?
Yeah, that became a campaign issue also. And, you know, the pockets in the islands are these little tiny, you know, sometimes they're just one parcel that remains in the county. There is a process currently how those become annexed. And it's worked well over the years. It sometimes it's drawn out. I know Mr. Campbell and some others thinks you should just with one swath of the brush, you know, annex everything in. It's a little more complex than that. There's tax share agreements with the county. There's there's property owners that might have a different opinion. But as these properties, as owners have come to the city and the local agency formation and say, I'd like to annex for various reasons, they're generally not denied. There was one years ago, a big piece that was denied, but that was another thing on politics. It was the Foster Road area that's inside the rural urban line, and it was anticipated to be annexed. But for various reasons, the county blocked this annexation 10 years ago. And so, you know, I'm not in favor of just telling property owners that maybe are in the county now, but live in, you know, kind of are surrounded by city. We're going to force you into the city, whether you like it or not. There has to be a clear understanding of what it's going to cost, what the change will be, as far as services and, you know, building permits. You know, I hear a lot of that. If they, you know, the simple ADU process, if I can take it through the county, it's an easier process than through the city. So a lot of moving parts, but for good governance, yes, all those little pockets and islands at some point should be part of the city. And how we get there is, I think a slow and steady and well thought out process. It's not just like, yeah, we're going to do it overnight. And I know that's what some people wanted us to do, to just say, we're going to annex you all. And mm-hmm. that sometimes has unintended consequences in itself. So
yeah.
we're doing some infrastructure analysis now. We have city property now that is incorporated that don't have sidewalks and don't have streetlights for various reasons. And is there an expectation? And the big one I know is the Pueblo Park area over there, mm-hmm. West of Solano. Mm-hmm. Would there be an expectation now that I'm in the city that these streets or the sidewalks and the streetlights and all those amenities come in within, 2 years? Is there an expectation? It's just a financial issue, how much you can do. Some people don't want to lose their front yard.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. When we looked at sidewalks in the Westwood area, because mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of work over there, where we did sidewalks, we did it on one side so the kids could walk on a safe sidewalk on one side of the street. But a lot of the residents didn't want to lose their front yards
yep.
to sidewalks.
Mm. You have tiny lots in some of those neighborhoods as it is. If you put in lights and a planter strip and a sidewalk, it would go right up to the front of the house practically in some
right.
places.
Right. And some of the new development, I'm talking to a developer, on some of these parcels that are being developed, they want to look at the ordinance on a setback and bring the house closer to the sidewalk, still have a 20-foot deep driveway so you can get a car off the street. But they're looking at removing the front yards, like the Register Square properties downtown, mm-hmm. that were able to do that. With just the stoop and then down to the sidewalk. I mean, we may no longer have the luxury in Napa to have these, 20-foot front yards.
Yeah,
that's just the reality. Land is scarce, and if we want to get some houses in there, we might have to change that a little bit and lose those front yards.
Yeah,
and we are losing a lot of front yards. People are taking out the lawns and just putting in, zero scape. It helps with water consumption, but still it's not the most efficient use of your property.
Yeah. We're running out of time. I think we might be able to squeeze in one more. And thanks to all the people who suggested questions, we can cycle some of these for the next visit with the mayor. But the last one to touch on maybe is from Kathy, who asked about an independent police commission. This is an idea that's come up multiple times, and it tends to get traction again every time there's any kind of a problem with policing. It's usually resisted. What's wrong with that idea of having an independent commission reviews police issues?
That's still on the table. In fact, I was looking through my notes from last year on what we have not accomplished. We have our workshop coming up first part of February to discuss budgets and our priorities. And that's one I listed because we had a report on our police department's use of force policies. We reviewed those. And the next step was this kind of a citizens review. And I could support that. If you have the right people on it, could be retired police officers, could be citizens at large, it could be business people. And I think that you have a body like that that could help review when you have a officer involved shooting or you have something, I think is reasonable.
Very good, Napa Mayor Scott Sedgley, and thanks again to folks who have joined our KVON Community Forum group, which is on Facebook, and you can join it too. We've been inviting folks to engage this way, and that was excellent. We picked up a bunch of good questions for you there, Mayor, and thanks for taking a swing at each one.
Now, can I see the questions if I go on the Facebook
yes,
page?
You can.
Can I see those questions?
Yes,
yeah.
You can. Join the group.
I'll try to be better prepared.
Well, we won't.
No, you did great.
We didn't mean to ambush you, by the way. Just happened that
that's
way.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm in the hot seat. That's
right. All right. Thanks for your time and have a good weekend. We'll hopefully talk to you next week, same time.
Thank you so much, Barry. Right. Bye, Taylor.
Bye.
That was fun. I like that.
I like it too because we could just have a conversation with someone, but we're getting what people really want to hear. Mm-hmm. I don't think those were scary questions, were they?
No, I don't think anything's scary. It's just you want to be ready.
Yeah,
You
want to give the best answer you could get.
You hate to be in the position of saying, well, I don't really know what's going on. I haven't thought about that, right? So it's called, again, KVON Community Forum. Right at this moment, we have 173 members.
Mm-hmm.
And if you search, you'll find it there on Facebook, I'm sure. And I think you can join without being invited. Is that true?
I believe you can.
Yeah.
And
once you have joined, we invite you to invite others to join. The bigger the group gets, the better it will be.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll use it in this fashion and, maybe questions for upcoming guests, topics people want to hear about.
Mm-hmm. We do have the text line. We have our own personal people text us personally. But I think this is just another great way to communicate with us.
And if you have a chaffle recipe to submit, you can do that.
Oh, my gosh. Stop. I could post so many chaffle recipes. I have so many saved that I want to make. I got an Oreo chaffle recipe yesterday and a cinnamon churro one.
Oh, no.
I know. I went from healthy substitute bread, whatever, into bad
sugar bombs.
Bad sugar land.
Okay.
But isn't it healthy still? I don't know.
We'll take a break now and ponder that question and return in just a moment. And it's The Sporting Life with Channel 2's Mark Ibanez coming up after a break. A big, big moment in sports. I didn't realize. Mark tells me he had a super busy day yesterday. I'm not dialed in to all the things
on
he covers.
On a Thursday?
Right. We'll find out why. Stay tuned. More to come here on KVON.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin.
On KVON Napa. 1440 AM at KVON.com.